With respect to repair, we found ourselves in spirited discussions in our fact-finding, and we went back a number of times. And recently, as last time we met, we had to go back and kind of take a poll of the group and find out what people really believed the repair, the intent of the repair part of that recommendation was, and actually fine-tuned our definition a little bit of what we thought the intent of CABE was in the context of where we thought they were headed with respect to debris liberation on the tank and with respect to orbiter hardening issues and safe haven. And what we determined to be the intent of CABE before the operations panel was, or the majority of the people in the task group could be comfortable with the intent of CABE, what could be called a repair capability, we defined that arbitrarily as that option that must have completed a formal design review. It should have gone through ground verification and testing and procedure development in an integrated certification review process before NASA, before we were willing to call it a capability. Up to that point, it can be called a contingency option, or in some cases, flight crew slang would be a hip pocket procedure, something you can determine that it's safe to fly aboard the vehicle and you can carry it up for an emergency situation, you could apply it. But we felt that that it should have gone for an option to be considered a capability, it should have gone through a process that took it through the design review, ground testing, verification, so that NASA had some reasonable degree of confidence that if applied, the repair would behave as expected. And we thought that it should go through those, or the majority of the task group felt that it should go through those things to be considered a capability, or to be called a capability. So based on that interpretation of the majority of the group, we found that that NASA fell short of meeting that recommendation, although they had put forth a yeoman's effort in coming up with all of the options that they could conceive of for repair. They had five that they're going to fly, and all of these fell into that category of what we call contingency options for repair. They've got an emittance wash that basically reduces the emittance of the tile, that they can effectively improve the thermal protection characteristics of a broken tile. There's what's called a cure-in-place ablative repair, or STA-54, which is a two-part cure-in-place, kind of a resin sort of material that can be applied with a gun on an EVA to fill a void in the tile. There's a tile overlay that is a kind of a late-breaking option that they've recently come up with. It shows promise for future flight, but it hasn't made it through all the review processes yet, hasn't had extensive ground testing or verification. With respect to RCC, there are a couple. There's a crack repair called NOAX, which is a little putty-type material that you can put on cracks. It's not good for holes or voids, but it does fill cracks. And in the case of the second option, which is a plug repair, kind of like a molly bolt that you would put in drywall, it has to have a 1-inch hole in the RCC, and then it has a molly bolt behind it to hold it in place. And there's a sort of a high-temperature rubbery kind of material that covers up to a 4-inch hole, or can cover up to a 4-inch hole, and you can use the NOAX to kind of fare in any step or gap problems that may cause. These options show promise for future flights, but we just didn't feel that they were tested and vetted quite enough to be called capability just yet. And what worried us was the fact that would you have enough confidence that they would behave as advertised so that you'd be willing to fly one of these repairs home? Obviously, you would rather fly a damaged tile home with nothing, with no repair, than to cause more damage. So you wouldn't want to apply a repair if you thought you were going to do more harm than good. So, but on the other hand, if you thought you had a damaged state or situation that was not safe to reenter with, you would want to be able to apply the repair with enough confidence that it would behave as expected, so that you wouldn't have to invoke the safe haven in the rescue mission. So that's kind of the tiering of options that you would like to see for these things, and that's what we were evaluating these repair options against.
Let me interrupt by mentioning something here. It took us several years to develop TPS for the Orbiter. We started way back in the early part of 1970, and it didn't get operational or developed until 1980. So, and here we're trying to do tile repair, which is just as difficult as starting over again with the TPS system, and ask NASA to get it done in 2 years. It is very difficult. So to put that in proper perspective, TPS is a very difficult and sensitive system that we have, and it's complex, like he has mentioned.
Well, like Joe said, it was a tremendous technical challenge, and while we did in the end determine that with respect to repairs, we felt that they felt short of the recommendation of CABE, or the intent of the recommendation of CABE, our hats are off to NASA for the tremendous effort they put forth in this regard on a subject on a system that was never intended to be repaired. Like Joe said, the TPS, especially the tile, for example, is mostly air. That's why it's good, insulator. And how do you repair air? It's pretty tough. And getting anything to stick to that or hold to it or fasten to it is just a tremendous challenge when you're not allowed to have any steps or gaps in the process. Tough job. And while we felt that there is a gap between the debris allowables and the orbiter's ability to withstand impacts, we think that the proximate cause of the damage to Columbia has been eliminated without doubt. There is no, we've done that, eliminated the PAL ramp, that's gone, so that's not even possible anymore, and we've significantly reduced the risk of having to apply any of these repairs through the efforts on the external tank.
Bipod
ramp, I'm sorry, I always get those two mixed up. I'll let Joe take care of that. So in the end, that's where we are with respect to repair. And then under the, I guess, the ops panel banner, there was one other, the integrated vehicle assessment subpanel kind of flew their flag under the ops panel banner. And Christine Fox led that group. And with support from all of the other panels, it was a truly integrated effort. And the outcome of that was that NASA has come up with an integrated operations plan and an annex to support decision making of the MMT should any of this come up during a real mission. They have a procedure in place to integrate all of the data that's going to be coming in from the cameras, from the downlinkable imagery, from the sensors packages, all of the stuff that will have to go into the decision making that involves characterizing and repairing or not, and what you need to re-enter with, all is planned out and has been rehearsed through the MMT process. And again, we'd like to commend NASA for the fine job of putting that together. It's a living document. It's meant to be carried on in the future as the capabilities change and grow. We expect this document to be updated and NASA to follow this procedure, and it may even become a model for other integrated assessment processes that NASA may have in that environment. So we think that they've done a great job there, and those observations about the OIP, the Operation Integration plan and the annex for decision-making. We'll make those observations in our final report. And that's it for ops.
Okay. Let's see. Just for those of you that weren't at the public meeting, I'd like to make sure it's clear relative to the two engineering panel recommendations on our on a accident investigation board's recommendations. Engineering panel came forward with recommendations to the task group, both for debris shedding and for orbiter hardening, that said that based upon their work and their interpretation of the CABE recommendations, that NASA had met the intent of CABE. That was not an accepted position by the task group in whole, and in fact, we modified the recommendations, which were and assessments, which were subsequently accepted by the task group, to reflect that for orbiter hardening, the intent of CABE had been met in part, but had not been. We had not seen a demonstrated completion due to open work that still remains based upon the debris verification review that occurred last week. And the fact that because of the shortening of the projected lifetime of the space shuttle to 2010, the program has made a decision not to pursue long-term solutions to hardening or improving the RCC, increasing RCC's hardness capabilities. We felt that that's a prudent decision that they have made, but when you look at the CABE recommendation, and is very specific about looking at ways of increasing the capabilities of the RCC, there was the task group in general accepted recommendation, said that because of that and because of the open work, that the intent of CABE was not completely met by the actions on orbiter hardening. Likewise, on external tank debris, we took the engineering panel brought forward a recommendation that the intent of the CABE had been met. We got into a little bit of a box that we may have created ourselves. Based upon early implementation plans of the Space Shuttle program, which identified their approach to the intent of CABE, which was to eliminate critical debris, we accepted that as opposed to the at that time as the criteria and the intent, our interpretation of intent, as opposed to the words in the CABE recommendation, which was to initiate an aggressive program to eliminate all debris. There were several nuances there, but we in the end, the task group decided to waive the progress of NASA relative to elimination of critical debris against the task group interpretation of CABE, which was that critical debris would be eliminated, and we found that at the current state that the intent had not been met based upon, like I say, a task group interpretation. So in both those cases, task group through deliberation worked through with the engineering panel their presentation recommendation to come to those conclusions.
Okay, I think we're ready for questions. I'd like to get through everybody once, and then we'll come back around again. We'll just start with Tracy up here, if that's okay.
Tracy Watson, USA Today, for Colonel Covey. I know it's not your in your charter to decide whether the shuttle should launch or not, but I'd be interested in your personal opinion. Given what was decided today, do you think the shuttle should launch in July?
Well, let's see. We're here as a task group today, and I'm going to stick to the point that the task group doesn't make that determination. And so the task group will not make a determination of whether it's the right time to go fly or not. We will deliver our assessments to the administrator. He can use that as advice in his determination of that readiness. Well, I say right now we're here as a task group.
Mark?
I'm Mark Caro from the Houston Chronicle. I guess if you did a little scoring black and white, there's three that weren't met out of the 15. yet I think you're trying to say that may not tell the full story. So what is the story if you look at it?
Well, let's see. I'll start out by saying I think you need to look at what the agency has done, not necessarily at a scorecard. And I think in our deliberations today we're very clear about the fact that everybody wants to commend the agency for what they have done and the actions they've taken. And even